Blog Talk Radio.
But let's be clear. Benghazi happened a long time ago.
September 11th, Benghazi, Libya. Terrorists linked to Al-Qaeda kill four Americans, including Ambassador Chris Stevens. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is briefed at 2 a.m. by the ambassador's deputy that it was, in fact, terrorism.
I briefed her on developments.
Yet 2 days later, Secretary Clinton and others blamed protesters and...
an awful internet video that we had nothing to do with.
An offensive video.
Deputy Hicks was shocked.
I was stunned. My jaw dropped. I was embarrassed.
But when Hicks dared to question why Secretary Clinton and others were contradicting the facts he told her, Clinton's chief of staff ordered him not to talk to Congress.
There was a concerted effort to shut him up. He was demoted. He was chewed out. And he essentially says he now has a job with no real responsibilities.
A 22-year diplomatic veteran, intimidated for daring to blow the whistle, all under Hillary Clinton's watch. How could this happen? Why did she blame a video? And was she part of a cover-up?
Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
The difference is a cover-up and four American lives that deserve the truth.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now.
You feel that? You better hold on.
I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. Remember, shipmates, freedom is not cheap, but we can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today? 646-716-7978. That's 646-716-7978. All right, you know it as well as I do. As long as there is one liberal on planet friggin' Earth, it is a very, very, very busy news day. Well, today is no exception. And there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. So let's get this freedom ship underway. All right, we are officially underway and heading out to sea. Bosun mate, shift the colors. All right, Benghazi, 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 Benghazi. Will it ever go away? No. Should it? No. The Judicial Watch blog. If you're not familiar with them, get online, look them up. Well, they get a map of the military fleet positions during the Benghazi attack in Libya. Guess what? Yeah, we had time, we had ships, we had planes, we had men, we had resources. We had it all. Did we use it? No. Why? Well, that's the $64,000 question. Was it to protect the fact that they were doing some kind of crooked arms deal? Was it to protect them? Was it protect who? What? What was being protected? Why did we relax our security after the Red Cross and the British left? Why was our ambassador even there? The hottest place on planet Earth, well, at least one of them anyway. Why was our ambassador there? We still have yet to get that question answered. Because if somebody does answer the question, well, there's going to be a lot of people that, you know, going to be, well, exposed. So we can't have that. So that's why all the survivors, well, they've been reassigned. They've had to force, you know, they've been forced to sign gag orders. They've got new positions. God only knows where these people are. But they're being, well, let's just say they're being protected. So we've heard time and time and time and time again of this complete incompetent administration that there simply just wasn't enough time to get there. I mean, you know, it's late at night, you know, most of the boys are sleeping, it's taco night, Kim Kardashian's on. I mean, there's a lot of things that we gotta, you know, it's just not enough time. Plus, you know, yeah. Well, it turns out that really wasn't true. Judicial Watch has just released in a new report that they have obtained an unclassified Navy map of all the naval ships positioned in the area around North Africa. And guess what? That's right. The map contradicts the Satoru administration's claims that they didn't have any military assets, no military assets anywhere. Well, let me tell you something. Being in the Navy, we've always got ships in the Mediterranean. We've always got ships somewhere near the Persian Gulf. We've always got ships in the Indian Ocean. We've always got ships in the Pacific Ocean. We've got several bases all over planet friggin' Earth. There is no excuse for them to use excuse that there wasn't enough time. Nobody's ever concerned with time. Let's say one of your family members, you get a call, one of your family members is hurt. They give a call on your cell phone, yeah, Mom, I'm stuck in a ditch and I can't get out. Well, honey, there's just really not enough time. You know, there's a big flood coming. So you're going to end up dying anyway. I won't be able to get there in time. No, you get a call like that, you get your ass in your car and you zip on down to wherever that ditch is and you do everything you can to pull your son or daughter or friend or brother, mother, father, whoever, out of the ditch. And if you get there too late, well, at least you get there. At least you at least made an effort to save this person. We never even made an effort. We made more of an effort to do nothing than to do something. Just like when the government was closed down, they spent more money, used more resources and more manpower closing down the goddamn government than they did if they'd have just left it open. And then we have Mrs. Boehner and Mrs. McConnell who just can't wait to surrender. So the government's opened back up because they don't have enough inside them to fight. Well, look. Mrs. Boehner, Mrs. McConnell, Mrs. McCain, Mrs. Graham, Mrs. King. All you little girls, if you don't have enough in your mind and in your heart to fight the fight, you need to get the hell out of the war. Because you're stopping us that do have in our mind, in our heart to fight the fight, the fight that needs to be fought. You're bogging us down. You're getting in our way. Are you working for them? Somehow I kind of, you know, I have to ask that question, and I do have to think that. And we got a story in here today. It's coming up. We'll get to it. And you know you've heard me talk about the reason why so many of these Republicans, well, they don't really fight Obamacare as hard as they really should. Because there's a lot of politicians who have, well, a lot of investments in these medical programs of kind, either prescription drugs or wheelchairs or prosthetics or anyway, they've got money invested in the medical industry. And see, if they get rid of Obamacare, well, their investment is not going to be worth as much. So that's why they'll come out and talk a big game and, oh, Obamacare must be repealed, blah, 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 blah. Then it comes time to actually fight to get it repealed. Well, they surrender. If your heart and your mind were truly on repealing Obamacare, we could have gotten this repealed. We would have stood up. The Republicans would have stood up and never backed down until they got what they want. But they stand up just so they can kneel down, which makes absolutely zero sense to me. But according to the Satoru administration, we've got no military assets. Nowhere. No, just we don't have time. We don't have any ships in the area. We got rid of all of our security. We got nothing. So there's nothing we can do. And plus, I've got a huge fundraiser the next morning in Las Vegas. Michelle's bitching, pissing, and moaning. I haven't been up to dinner yet. I got to get up there. I mean, you think the Republicans are bad? I got to live with this woman. She won't leave it alone. So I better get up there and I better go to dinner with the family. The U.S. military had a multitude of forces in the region surrounding Libya when terrorists attacked a special mission in Benghazi. The special mission, that was, well, we do have reports of 400 surface-to-air missiles that were stolen, so I wonder if that was part of that special mission. What was that actual arms deal in Benghazi anyway? Did we sell them the weapons and then wanted to get them back? Or did we not sell them and they wanted them? I mean, what really happened, and why do we not have a responsible enough media who would ask those kinds of questions? You know Bill O'Reilly wasn't going to ask a president that kind of question. He's just as milquetoast as the rest of them. That's what I'd be asking the president, you damn Skippy. Where were you during the attacks? Who gave the stand-down order? Why was the stand-down order given? And what was our ambassador doing over there? What was that arms deal? What was that arms deal all about? Those are the questions that the American people need to know. Those are also the questions that the victims' families, you know, the four brothers that were murdered, to know a little bit of that information too, but they'll never find it out. The government's going to keep this. The only way we're going to find this information out is if we find a whistleblower and we protect them. And I mean really protect them, because these are the kinds of people. I'm sorry, but when a push comes to shove, if somebody's going to expose the government, they're going to find a way. Well, their car just slid off the road and into a ditch and then blew up. We don't know what happened. All of a sudden, somebody gets sick, and just we don't know what happened. They just, you know, one day just fell over dead. There's all kinds of poisons. There's all kinds of ways to kill people. And if you think for one second that our government does not kill witnesses, think again. Don't be naive. Don't be gullible. Don't be an idiot. All to protect their ass. Not to protect the American people, country as a whole, but to protect certain members of the government. Yeah, that's integrity. You betcha, Red Rider. The map features the Navy fleet positions in the North Africa area of responsibility. On September 11, 2012, the day the Islamic jihadists, not just guys out, you know, hanging out in the houses there, and somebody puts on YouTube and they see a video that mildly mocks the Muhammad. So they got to go out and blow up the embassy. Yeah, that's what happened. They were terrorists. It was pre-planned. Somehow, some way, this arms deal that they were trying to make with these people went through, and then they were trying to renege on it, or it didn't go through. They wanted it to go through. Nobody really knows. We'd like to know, but we're not going to get that information. So somehow we've got a botched arms deal at play here. We've got an ambassador in Libya who has no goddamn business whatsoever being in Libya. And if he is going to be in Libya, well, then we need security. You don't put an ambassador with no security in one of the hottest, most dangerous areas on planet Earth. That right there is incompetence. And again, just that alone, by just getting rid of security, several people should have lost their job, especially the Secretary of State. That's right, Hillary Hitman Clinton, which, well, we've got a story on her, too. Well, if I can ever get through this, we still got an hour and 43 minutes, so we're going to be all right. No matter how much I digress, we're going to get to it all today. So, Ambassador Chris Stevens, the first diplomat to be killed overseas in decades, and three other Americans were murdered in the violent ambush. Dozens of vessels were stationed in the region on that day, including, two, not one, but two aircraft carriers, the Dwight D. Eisenhower and the Enterprise. And I have been out to sea with the Enterprise. Four amphibious ships, 13 destroyers, three cruisers, and more than a dozen other smaller Navy boats, as well as a command ship. Those aircraft carriers got lots of planes. Got fighter jets. Fighter jets can send out bombs. Fighter jets can do a lot. They got helicopters. I was on a destroyer. We had a helicopter. At one point, we had three helicopters. Two helicopters over the Persian Gulf. It was an army debt. And they had tiny little helicopters. And you couldn't hardly hear them. They just... And they only flew at night. Buzzing around. You couldn't even hear them. We've got people all over the world. We've got an embassy that's being attacked. We can come to the rescue anywhere on planet friggin' Earth. So if anybody believes, and Leon Panetta, how you got away with lying the way you lied in Congress, why Congress allowed you to get away with that, I just, it's still mind-boggling. The statements you made to Congress, Mr. Panetta, you should have been immediately at least fired and removed from your position. That should have been the bare minimum. You should have been relieved of your duties effective immediately. And then you should have gone into some serious interrogation. And you should never be allowed to leave the room until you answered each and every question. What the hell did we do, man? And why do we still yet to have a responsible shame-stream media is what I call them. They are shameful. But in the mainstream media, why do we not have responsible enough journalists that will not leave this alone? We've got a few people. The only people that's actually paying attention to this is like us, the Americans. We're paying attention to it. You got your college students? They're not paying attention to this. They barely even know where the hell Benghazi is. They don't even hardly know where Libya is. Their college professors don't talk about it. And if they do, it's all Bush's fault. So none of them are talking about it. None of them even know what the hell even happened. Of course, the television that they do watch, well, doesn't cover it. But that's not going to stop me from covering it. That's not going to stop a lot of other people from covering it. And that should not stop you from trying to reach out more information that you can. And it should not stop you from asking people questions. Look, there's a lot of people that go around and you can meet politicians just about anywhere. Next time you meet one of your politicians, ask them. Ask them some questions about Benghazi. Put them on the spot. And if they don't know the answer, ask them why they don't know the answer and what are they doing to find out these answers. I know it sucks. You might have to be a little confrontational. Well, I really wouldn't call it confrontational. They'll call it confrontational because you're asking them a question. You don't have to be overtly confrontational, but you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to go out there and start asking questions. If you don't want to ask a politician or anybody else any questions, you need to start asking yourself these questions. And if you can't come up with the answers, then you know we got a problem. Well, if there's a problem, guess what? You have to fix it. You can't leave a problem just left alone and think that it's going to fix itself. It will not. Problems left alone only get bigger. They fester. They also spawn. So you've got one problem over here. Well, if you don't attend to that problem and fix it, other little problems just start popping up all over the place. And then what do you have? You have one big, huge, giant problem that you can never fix. Obamacare. Good God. What a disaster. All right, let's get back to this. All right. So we've got the Enterprise, 4 amphibious ships, 13 destroyers. So you've got at least 13 helicopters right there. And 2 aircraft carriers. God only knows how many planes they got. How many helicopters? 3 cruisers. Most cruisers come with a helicopter, too. And more than a dozen other smaller Navy boats. Jesus, God Almighty. I mean, we had half the goddamn 7th Fleet out there. What do you mean we didn't have any resources and didn't have time? During the Benghazi attack, 2 carriers were based to the east in the Arabian Sea. Plane going from the Arabian Sea to Libya, ain't going to take very long at all. Them boys, they get up and they can move, and they can move fast. 2 amphibious assault ships, the Iwo Jima, which was out once with her. I think I went on her once. I had to do something, pick up a chart or something. And Gunston Hill. So we have 2 amphibious assault ships. We're situated to the east in the Gulf of Oman. And 1, the New York, was in the Gulf of Aden. Again, not very far. A 4th, the Fort McHenry, was located on the west side of the African continent in the Atlantic Ocean. Might have had a little bit, you know, more trouble, but they still could have got there in reasonable time. Amphibious ships resemble small aircraft carriers and have aircraft strips for vertical and vertical takeoffs and landings. So they've got the Harriers. They've got the helicopters. They didn't need to bring the ship there. But they could have brought at least somebody, something. I mean, just one fighter jet to just buzz the area, just to scare the bejesus out of these people. Something, anything. But what did we send? Well, we sent the FBI 2 weeks later. 2 weeks? It took us 2 weeks to send anybody there? Huh. Goddamn CNN made it before the FBI. That's not a problem with anybody. That's okay with you. You people are okay with this, where CNN gets to go plunder through the evidence before our FBI, before any of our soldiers there who should have been there to, well, defend the attack. And then once it was over, we should have been able to clean up the mess, rummage through all the evidence and do what is right. It was a crime scene. Did we do any of that? No. And yes, Miss Hitman Clinton, there was live video feed. And if you weren't watching it, Miss Clinton, the question now is, why were you not watching this? We've heard testimony from the actual pilot of the drone. So we do know, Mrs. Clinton, that there was live video feed. So her little lie to Congress, well, that goes unquestioned, too. She's Hillary Clinton. We can't question her because she's running for office in 2016. And if she becomes president, we don't want to be on her bad side. So we're going to, you know, we're going to give her a pass, you know, because she's so smart. The destroyers are scattered throughout the region, but the closest appear to be the coal. You remember the coal, don't you? Speaking of Clinton's, under Clinton's watch. Yeah, we really really did something with that one, didn't we? Yeah. What did we do after that? Well, we did hardly anything. I think they prosecuted somebody. Forrest Sherman, the Jason Dunham, and the Aboon. All in the Mediterranean of Libya. That's a hop, skip, and a jump. That's boom, bada, boom, bum, boom. Mediterranean's not that big. We could have sent a lot. I mean, a lot of support could have been sent. And how much did we send? We sent zero. Because there wasn't enough time and we didn't have any resources. And we don't send troops into harm's way without knowing all the information on the ground. Evidently, Mr. Leon Panetta, the so-called Secretary of Defense, has never heard of frickin' recon. Even if we didn't have recon, what the hell difference does that make? We got our embassy under attack. We have our brothers dying, being murdered. We don't worry about time. We don't worry about any of that crap. We get our asses to the scene and we fight the fight. I mean, this is exactly like what's going on in Congress, especially with the Republicans. We can't fight it. We can't win it. So we're just going to give them everything they want. We can say, I told you so, after it fails. Meanwhile, how many more millions of people have to lose their job, lose their health care, lose their hours, lose their livelihoods, and in some cases lose their lives before we realize that the fight is worth the fight? You see a fight, you got to fight it. If you don't want to fight it, well, then find somebody else that might want to fight it. But you don't leave the fight unattended. That's why we're in the mess that we're in today, because too many people didn't want to fight. Well, you know, it's government. There's nothing I can do. I'm just a little guy. Yeah, there are things you can do. One of them is you can start voting responsibly. You can do that. Yeah, but my wife, you know, she pretty much tells me who I vote for. And if I don't, well, you know, I got to live with her. I got to get in trouble every day. I can't have that. So, you know, you talk to her. If you can get her to change her mind, then that's it. No, you got your own vote. And look, if you have to have somebody tell you who to vote for, you don't deserve to vote. You have no business being in that polling station. You have no business whatsoever. That's an irresponsible vote. That's a dangerous vote. And far too many of these people do vote. Some of them vote 2, 3, 4 times. And we wonder why we're in the messes that we're in. The rest of the fleet includes cruisers, minesweepers, patrols, and a command ship. This map was provided to Judicial Watch by retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Randall Schmidt, who is investigating how the military responded to the Benghazi attack. Well, let me save you an investigation there, Colonel. There was no response to the Benghazi attack. What the hell is there to investigate? You're investigating how the military responded to the Benghazi attack? There was no response. You don't have any investigation. There's nothing to investigate. Now, if you want to investigate why they didn't send a response, okay, I can deal with that. But it's impossible to investigate a response that never happened. Schmidt flew Schmidt flew jet fighters during his active duty and says there's no reason the military could not have efficiently responded in Benghazi. Yes, that's true. I know for a fact when I was in the military. Now, I hate to say, you know, talk like, well, when I was in, well, things were different. Well, things were different. One, we had a responsible president. Maybe you don't remember him. His name was Ronald Reagan. But he was a responsible president. We had a responsible military. It was a much tighter military than I think that it is today. I'm not in the military anymore. But just everything that I have been privy to, it just seems it was a much tighter military. Yeah, I know. It was still during the Cold War, blah, 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 blah. But we never would have allowed our embassy under Reagan to be attacked. And I spent a lot of time in the Persian Gulf area. And yeah, we had to respond to certain places on the go. We're heading to one place and boom, we get a call. We turn around and we go. We did that a number of times. We didn't worry about the time. We didn't worry about any all this other crap. We loaded up the truck and we moved to Beverly. We went out there and we did what we had to do. Nobody came. These guys are wondering. It's like, hey, man, we're out here. We've been fighting out here for 6-7 hours. No one's coming. Why? Imagine this. Imagine knowing full well that you know that your government knows that you're being under attack and they're sending nobody and you're trying to fight these people off as best you can and you know damn good and well the government's sending no one. How do you think that makes those people feel, huh? How do you think you would feel in that situation? Knowing full well that you know that our government knows that we're being under attack and they are sending nobody to help. How do you think that would make you feel? You're out there fighting all alone, and you've got no help on the way. Would that restore your faith in government? Would you have a sour taste in your mouth over the government? Would you be curious as to why the government didn't send anybody to help you? Of course you would. Who wouldn't? Well, our media and our government. That's who. Schmidt got the map after filing a Freedom of Information Act, the Navy asking it to identify the location of all of its assets in the region on September 11, 2012. In a letter attached to the map, the Navy writes that the Iwo Jima was the closest large amphibious ship to Benghazi on that day, but fails to mention the exact distance, because it was probably pretty close. Look, if it's in the Mediterranean Sea, it's pretty close. I got to be honest, anywhere in the Mediterranean Sea, you're pretty close. You have planes and helicopters that can get to the scene there in Benghazi pretty quick. I mean, it may not take seconds, but they can get there. They can get there in a timely fashion. They could have at least done something, but they did nothing. The letter does not mention that the USS Enterprise, the aircraft carrier that appears on the map to be the closest to Libya, was located approximately 3,350 nautical miles from Benghazi. Assuming a 20-knot transit speed and no Suez Canal delays, the transit would take approximately 168 hours. Well, you wouldn't need to send the goddamn ship there, you dummies. You send the planes. Hello? Why would you send a guy? What the hell, the aircraft carrier? How's the aircraft carrier going to get on the land? What's the matter with you? You got planes. You don't need to send the entire goddamn ship. That's what the planes are for. Keep the ship out to sea. Let the planes go out and fight. And then come back. I mean, the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower. It's another aircraft carrier. Beautiful ship, by the way. Would require an additional transit time from its position in the Arabian Gulf. Destroyers could have responded to the attack, Schmidt said, adding that the military also has rapid reaction forces in the region as well as armed predators. Yeah. Aircraft could have also been deployed, according to Schmidt. Really? We all know this. I mean, this is what drives me nuts, is everybody knows this stuff. You know it, I know it, we all know it. We're not stupid people. Americans are not stupid. Unfortunately, there's far too many of us that are very naive and gullible, but overall, we're not stupid. We know damn good and well we could have done something. At least make an effort. Make it look like we're doing something. I think most of us could have accepted the fact that, okay, well, we sent people over there, but we got there just too late. And all of this would have gone away. But did they send anybody? Nothing. Two requests. Two. Not one. Not two. Requests were denied to go help. No, you may not go help, and if you do, we're going to prosecute you, court-martial you, throw you in jail. Imagine that. Imagine ruining your entire military career because you went and saved one or more of your, well, brothers. Imagine that. Being thrown in jail for doing your job. We're Americans. We don't ever leave a man behind. The goddamn fire department never leaves a man behind. How in the hell can our military? Our military did not only leave a man behind, they left several men behind. The four that were killed, and I think there was, what, 30, 32, 35, whatever? So they left roughly 40 men behind. We don't do that. This is America. The goddamn fire department won't leave a man behind. Why should our military? Oh, well, because we don't want to expose the president because, see, we were making illegal arms deals with the Syrian rebels. And we can't, you know, if Putin finds out, well, he's going to be upset. We, you know. Can't have that. Coincidentally, a congressional report released this week explores the DOD reaction to the attack. Published by the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, the report says that the military's response was severely degraded because of the location and readiness posture of U.S. forces. I mean, when you hear this stuff, man, I mean, I can feel the hair on the back of my neck rising up. The panel also attributes the weak military response to a lack of clarity about how the terrorist action was unfolding. Excuse me, I had to cough. I'm still a little sick. I'm about 97, 98. Every once in a while, 99%. I'm still not 100, but I'm still here. But the lack of clarity about how the terrorist action was unfolding. I'd like to know how you can have lack of clarity about how the terrorist action was unfolding when you had live video feed. You watched it. How can you have lack of clarity? We do know the drones were up there and they were videotaping it. We've heard from the drone pilot. So how can you have lack of clarity unless that is a lie, which is not uncommon for this administration, for government, period. We all know the government has to lie for, you know, certain reasons on certain things. That's okay, fine. But you don't lie about this, and you do not lie about four Americans being brutally murdered and blame it on a video and then take the filmmaker and throw him in jail to protect your ass. We don't do that. This is America. Why do we have a media that lets these people get away with it? I don't know. Why do we have a Congress that is allowing this administration to get away with it? I don't know. Some people say, I know Ann Coulter, she had a, there's a story out somewhere where she says that, you know, the only reason why this man's not been impeached is because he's the first black president. Well, I could care less what his stupid skin color is. And I think the overwhelming vast majority of America could care less what its stupid skin color is. Obviously, they don't care because they voted him in not once but twice. So skin color has absolutely nothing to do with it. I don't know what these people are really afraid of. And if they really are afraid to prosecute this president or impeach this president because of his skin color, well, that says more about these people than it says about the president, which is saying a hell of a lot because there's a lot to say about this president. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's cowardly. That's cowardly. We don't need any more cowards in our government. So that's why you need to do your homework. And if your Republican representative is one of those 28 names that I read, which I should probably read those again. Do I still have them somewhere? Yep, here we are. Not only should you not vote for a Democrat, every single Democrat who's up for office should be challenged, and they should lose the race. But we don't have a powerful enough, strong enough, brave enough Republican Party to stand up and fight these fights. This is our job. Our leaders aren't going to fight the fight that need to be fought, so we're going to have to do it. So these are the names of the 28 Republicans that need to lose their job. First on the list, Mrs. John Boehner from Ohio, fired. Ken Calvert, California, fired. Dave Camp, Michigan, fired. Eric Cantor, Virginia, fired. Howard Coble, North Carolina, fired. Chris Collins, New York, fired. Charles Dent, Pennsylvania, fired. Michael Fitzpatrick, Pennsylvania, fired. Michael Grimm, New York, fired. Richard Hanna, New York, fired. Doc Hastings, Washington, my home state, fired. Daryl Issa, California, you broke my heart. How dare you, Mr. Issa? You're fired. Peter King, we know this little worm. He should have been fired a long time ago, you fraud. That's right, Mr. King. Peter King from New York, you're the fraud. You are the King fraud. You're fired. Kevin McCarthy, California, fired. Buck McKeon, California, fired. Patrick Meehan, Pennsylvania, fired. Gary Miller, California, fired. Devin Nunez, California, fired. David Reichert, my home state of Washington, fired. Hal Rogers, Kentucky, fired. Peter Roskam, Illinois, fired. Ed Royce, California, fired. John Runyon from New Jersey, fired. Chris Smith from New Jersey, fired. David Beledo, California, fired. And Frank Wolf from Virginia, fired. All 28 of them need to lose their job. We can no longer give these people any more free passes, period. You screw up once, you drop the ball, you got to sit on the bench. We don't want to hear your goddamn excuses anymore. I don't want to hear this cockamamie nonsense that you just want to, you're tired, you just can't fight the fight anymore, and you just want to be able to tell the president, I told you so. Yeah, after the country's bankrupt, after nobody has health care, nobody has a job, the entire country looks like Detroit. Is that when you want to say, I told you so, Mrs. Boehner? Look, you cowards have no business being in office if you're not going to fight. And if you don't understand that this is war, there is a war going on in this country. I'm sorry. You can disagree with it all you want to. You can sugarcoat it. You can close your eyes and you can dream of unicorns and rainbows all you want. But at the end of the day, any way you slice it, dice it, roll it up and smoke it, there is a war going on in this country. Probably the most important war this country has ever fought next to the first revolution. This is actually the second revolution. And there is a revolution going on. I'm sorry. If you can't see it, you don't understand it, you need to stay out of the conversation. Because all you're going to do is bog it down. You're a waste of time. You are counterproductive and tedious. Nobody is interested in paying attention to you people anymore. We're only interested in paying attention to those people who understand what is really happening, the reality of the situation. Obviously, those 28 names that I read off in the Republican Party don't seem to understand the reality of the situation. And could care less if it screws you, which every time Congress passes any piece of legislation, somebody's getting screwed. As a result, U.S. personnel in Benghazi were woefully vulnerable because the Obama administration didn't direct a change in military force posture. Huh? Duh. Basically, what that says is he did absolutely nothing but go upstairs to eat dinner with Michelle so he wouldn't get in trouble. And then he goes to sleep so, because he's got a long, you know, cross-country flight the next day at a very important fundraiser. I mean, how do you do that? This is what I'd like to know. As president of the United States, just imagine yourself as president of the United States. Just imagine just for a minute. And you get this call in, and they say, well, yeah, our embassy's being attacked in Benghazi. We are our ambassador, he's gone missing. We've got another Navy SEAL who ended up being a CIA operative. There were two of them. They were killed. They've gone missing. We don't know what's going on. We got, you know, the whole place is on fire. So you go upstairs and you eat dinner. And then you go to bed. And then you get on a plane, Air Force One. You go to Las Vegas and you give a speech in front of a roaring crowd. And they couldn't wait to just hand over their money to you. Wouldn't that make you feel a little, I don't know, embarrassed? Ashamed? I know I would feel embarrassed. I felt embarrassed just listening to it. I had no idea that's what he did. When I first heard the attack, and I heard it on radio, and I heard it pretty early on, and I went up to my landlady, and I told her what was, you know, hey, our embassy being attacked, and the ambassador's been killed. She's like, well, I've been watching TV all day. I haven't heard anything. Of course, you're not going to hear it on television. I don't know when the news, when television first started to report it. But she didn't have cable. She watched regular, you know, network TV. But that's no excuse. That should have been, you know, breaking news. It's okay to break into a soap opera when your embassy's being attacked and your ambassador and three other Americans just got brutally murdered. It's okay to break into a goddamn Kim Kardashian show. Now, a month ago, continuing on with Benghazi, and I know I'm running a little late, but I still got an hour and 8 minutes to get through everything, so don't worry about it. We're going to get there. But a month ago, James Rosen, you remember James Rosen. He was targeted by the Satoru administration because he dared to ask, you know, probing questions to the administration. We can't have that. James Rosen was listed as a terrorist by the Department of Justice. But they said, we had no intentions of doing anything. Well, then why did you put him down as a possible terrorist or whatever the hell the classification was? If you had no intention of prosecuting him, why would you do that? Well, that's to keep it on the back burner. And since they got caught, that's why they said they had no intentions. They did have intentions of prosecuting. They had all the intentions in the world. But see, they got caught before they can develop a real case or actually create a case. So a month ago, James Rosen published a piece on the then newly declassified testimony of one General Carter Ham. General Ham has since all but appeared. Where is General Ham? I don't know. We can't seem to find him. Where is General Ham? Remember those stickers a long time ago, you know, of why can't I think of his name now? Just completely went out of my head. Were you kidding? Jimmy Hoffa, good God. Remember those stickers? Where's Jimmy Hoffa? They were everywhere. Well, where's General Ham? That's what I'd like to know. Where's the general? So General Carter Ham, who at the time was head of AFRICOM, the Defense Department Combatant Command with jurisdiction over Libya, told the House in classified testimony last year that it was indeed him who broke the news about the unfolding situation in Benghazi to then Defense Secretary Leon the Worm Panetta and General Martin Dempsey, who was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The tense briefing, in which it was already known that the U.S. ambassador to Libya, Christopher Stevens, had been targeted and had gone missing, occurred just before two senior officials departed the Pentagon for their session with the commander-in-chief. They knew what was happening. They knew it. They were hiding it from the very, very beginning, which tells me. Now, I know I'm going out on a limb, but it tells me. It just appears this way. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But nobody knows because nobody's given out any information. But when you put all the evidence together, it does look as though this attack was deliberate, and they had to have known that something like this was going to happen before it happened. Why would you get rid of all of your security? Why would you keep an ambassador there when everybody else is leaving, including the Red Cross and the British? So if you're going to keep your ambassador there, you need to buff up your security. But see, they were making illegal arms deals. That's what this is all about. This was an arms deal gone bad. And that's what they're trying to do, is to cover that up. But did you get Mr. O'Reilly to ask the president any of those kinds of questions during the Super Bowl? No.
He's not going to ask questions like that. Come on.
We got nothing but cowards in our media. Nothing. Nothing but cowards, one after another. According to a declassified testimony obtained by Fox News, General Hamm, who was working out of his Pentagon office on the afternoon of September 11th, said he learned about the assault on the consulate compound within 15 minutes of its commencement. 9:42 p.m. Libya time, though a call he received from the AFRICOM command center. In quotations now. So this is what really was said. My first call was to General Dempsey, General Dempsey's office, to say, hey, I'm heading down the hall. I need to see him right away, Hamm told lawmakers of the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation. Well, where's the oversight and investigation on the Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee? Maybe if you would have a lot less, you know, committees and subcommittees and oversight and investigation committees and subcommittees, maybe if somebody actually took the goddamn ball and was in charge, we wouldn't have to have all these goddamn committees and subcommittees and oversight and investigation committees and subcommittees. We'd have the goddamn job done. But we don't do that. Got to form a committee. What the hell is a committee going to do? Sit there and argue with each other? And then go to lunch? Yeah, that's productive. Told him what I knew, continues Mr. Hamm. We immediately walked upstairs to meet with Secretary Panetta. Hamm's account of the fateful day was included in some 450 pages of testimony given by senior Pentagon officials in classified closed-door hearings conducted last year by the Armed Services Subcommittee. Again, more committees and subcommittees. The testimony given under top secret clearance, yeah, and only declassified this month, presents a rare glimpse into how information during a crisis travels at the top echelons of America's national security apparatus, all the way up to the president. Well, president more than likely probably knew this was happening before it happened. I know it sounds very sinister, it's very conspiracy theoretical, but when you look at all the evidence, I mean, what else are we supposed to think? You get rid of all the security. We know that there was an arms deal going on. That's what this is all about. Whether they knew the attack was coming or not, whether they knew it was going to happen or not, who knows? I don't know. Again, it's kind of almost irrelevant, because what is relevant is the fact that four American brothers were needlessly murdered because of a bad arms deal. And then their murders were covered up so no one would find out that the government botched an arms deal. An illegal arms deal. So maybe that's why he was so gung-ho. I guess maybe the terrorists got to him, and that's why he was so gung-ho to go into Syria. What the hell was that all about? Why was he so gung-ho to go into Syria? I mean, there's too many questions, and there's nowhere near the amount of answers that we need. So we have nothing to do but speculate. When you put all the evidence together, I mean, the speculations, they seem plausible. You can back them up with facts. We need people prosecuted for this. This is not some kind of blue-stained dress scandal. This is a real scandal. American American brothers were murdered. Nobody was killed with Monica Lewinsky's blue stained dress. The only thing that died was half a billion sperm cells. In your discussions with General Dempsey and Secretary Panetta, McKeon asked, which we know who McKeon is. He's another one of those Republicans that's going to have to lose his job. Was there any mention of a demonstration, or was all the discussion about the attack? Ham initially testified that there was some peripheral discussion on the subject. What the hell does that mean? That means he's covering. That's what that means. Ham is covering the Obama administration's ass. But added, at the initial meeting, we knew that a U.S. facility had been attacked and was under attack. And we knew at that point that we had two individuals, Ambassador Stevens and Mr. Sean Smith, unaccounted for. Representative Brad Winthrop, Republican from Ohio, a first-term lawmaker with experience as an Iraqi war veteran and Army Reserve officer, pressed General Ham further on the point, prodding the 29-year-old Army veteran to admit that the nature of the conversation he had with Panetta and Dempsey was that this was a terrorist attack. The transcript reads as follows. This is Winthrop. As a military person, I am concerned that someone in the military would be advising that this was a demonstration. I would hope that our military leadership would be advising that this was a terrorist attack. And then, General Ham, again, sir, I think you know there was some preliminary discussion about, you know, maybe there was a demonstration. But I think at the command, I personally, and I think the command very quickly got to the point that this was not a demonstration, this was a terrorist attack. Winthrop continues, and you would have advised as such if asked, would that be correct? Then Mr. General Ham. Well, and with General Dempsey and Secretary Panetta, that is the nature of the conversation we had. Yes, sir. No, answer the goddamn question. Yes or frickin' no. And none of these people want to ever answer the question yes or no, because they're going to have to be binded and be held to it. That's the whole purpose of government. So you're in charge, but you're not in charge. You're ahead of everything, but you're not accountable. You got your name on plaques and pieces of paper, but you're not responsible for anything. Everybody's the boss, but nobody's in charge. Nobody's responsible, and nobody will be held accountable. Unless they're Republicans. Jesus, God almighty, and sweet blue frickin' heaven. We'll be back after this.
What I haven't been willing to negotiate, and I will not negotiate, is on the debt.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to reiterate, John, the president's made clear he's not going to be negotiating over the debt
limit.
Look,
the president's been very clear. He's not negotiating on the debt limit.
What I will not do is to have that negotiation.
Let me reiterate what our position is, and it is unequivocal. We will not negotiate with Republicans in Congress. He will certainly meet with Putin.
I did discuss this with President Putin. This is something that is not new. I've been discussing this with President Putin for some time now.
We're going to work with the Russians.
Mr. Prime Minister, we are serious, as you are, about engaging in substantive, meaningful negotiations.
Negotiations.
We are prepared to negotiate in good faith, in mutual respect.
For decades, the White House, the Congress, have used the debt limit to find bipartisan solutions on the deficit and the debt.
Louisianans told Mary Landrieu to vote no on Obamacare.
People think it's big government at its worst. It's going to cost more money.
Instead, she sided with Barack Obama.
If I had to vote for the bill again, I would vote for it tomorrow.
Now, we're paying the price.
There is growing frustration among many Americans.
The Obama administration is conceding that some people will have to pay a lot more for health insurance.
If I had to vote for the bill again, I would vote for it tomorrow.
Tell Senator Landrieu we deserve better than Obamacare. On healthcare, Jean Shaheen didn't tell the truth.
You can keep your insurance if you like it. It will increase choices for families. It will promote competition.
The facts. More than 20,000 New Hampshire patients have had their coverage canceled, and Obamacare offers only one insurer on New Hampshire's individual market. So next November, if you like your senator, you can keep her. If you don't, you know what to do. Ending Spending, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Okay, and we're back. Let's open up my treasure chest here and see if we can plunder for any booty. Oh, look at this. Right off the friggin' top. Common Core strikes again. Wait till you find out about this. This is absolutely pathetic. I mean, you're gonna... A father is outraged over his daughter's biology homework. And wait till you find out what that homework is about. And if you're not outraged, well, I don't know. Maybe you're not alive, or maybe you're just an idiot. Democrats who oppose Keystone Pipeline own shares in competing companies. What are you? I didn't have any. I have no idea what this story is about. No idea. And how many times have you heard me talk about this is what's happening? You can always tell what a politician has investments in. If they're for it, they've got investments in it. If they're against it, they've got investments in something else. I don't know. Maybe if there's a way that we can put an end to Congress having any kind of monetary investments with companies that have anything to do with the government at all. I mean, I don't know how you could possibly do that and get away with it, but I'm sure we could probably figure something out. Something needs to be done. I mean, when you have all of these Republicans come out and they bitch, piss, and moan about Obamacare, but when it comes time to actually fighting for it, they're nowhere to be found. Except for they're on their knees surrendering. Obviously, these people have investments in something. Otherwise, we'd get something done. And that's what this is all about. This has to do with politicians, well, because they're not making money, so they're going to disagree with it. But if they're making money, they're going to go for it. That's what it's all about. It's all about their personal gain. Never once do they put into the equation of how it affects the American people. How does it affect America? It's always, how does it affect me? How does it affect my next election? How does it affect my party? How does it affect the president? We've got a lot of cleaning up to do in 2014. I know we can't get rid of them all, but we got to get rid of a hell of a lot of them. If you are a conservative Republican, 28 brand new job openings just came up, 28 of them, from Ohio, state of Washington, California's got a lot of them, Virginia, Cantor, what the hell's the matter with you? These people start showing their true colors. John Boehner needs to go as Speaker of the House. I vote for Trey Gowdy, but that's me. Cafe Fan is banned because the smell of bacon offends Muslims. So the fan that they use to blow out the heat or whatever, well, it goes out and Muslim neighbors walking by, well, they don't like the smell of pork, so they complained, and this cafe has to get rid of the fan because somebody got offended by the smell of bacon. Look, if you get offended by the smell of bacon, you got no business living in the United States. Let me tell you. I mean, the smell of bacon, doesn't, when you smell bacon, doesn't that immediately put you into a good mood? Doesn't that make you feel warm? Doesn't that make you feel good? Ah, oh, it's bacon. Makes you hungry. Who doesn't like the smell of bacon? And if you don't like the smell of bacon, well, you know, walk on the other side of the street, I don't know. But you go up to places that stink, I know, because they got stinky jobs. I lived in Washington State. We had just west of the Camas paper mill. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about stink? Paper mills stink. And I used to work in Washougal, pulled the green chain, which wasn't too far, just farther east of Camas, on the Columbia River. Depending on how the wind was blowing, let me tell you, when that wind blows that paper mill, the smell, then you can't get around it. And it stinks. Did they shut the paper mill down? No. But because Muslims get offended by the smell of pork, we got to turn the fan off? We'll find out what the hell that's about. That's just, you know, things like this, it just sets me off. Oh, look at this. This makes, oh, God. I mean, you go from being angry to frustrated to irate and then now to puke. Sochi Olympians call for action on global warming. See, they're bitching, pissing, and moaning because it's balmy in Sochi. Well, I did a little homework on Sochi, and it's like that this time of year every year. So you little Olympians that, you know, are calling for global warming nations to do God only knows what. I don't know what the hell a nation can do to combat global warming, which doesn't exist, by the way. You're not stupid people. You know it don't. But these athletes obviously are. Maybe if these athletes did a little bit of homework and understood that while the area in Russia, there in Sochi, is not that cold this time of year, every year. But see, they don't do their homework. They're supposed to be there in the Winter Olympics, and if it's not 450 degrees below zero, well, it's got to be global warming. Al Gore was right. No, it's you did not do your goddamn homework, and then you opened up your fat yap. Oh, look at this one. Hillary is the war on women. We're going to find out about that. That's one of Bill Clinton's, one of his victims that he sexually harassed. And this woman evidently was very close to, knew the Clintons. She says Hillary is the war on women. California bill would require warning labels on sugary drinks. I think we tried to cover that, but you know me, I just talk. We never got to it. So maybe we might get to it today. Obamacare patients with serious pre-existing diseases could face expensive drug costs. Really? Really? How many times have you been told this since 2007 that none of this stuff was going to work? And now all of a sudden we read it in the newspaper, oh, now it's got to be true. What do you mean? You knew it was going to be like this from the very beginning, but you didn't care. You weren't listening. All you heard was Obama's going to save the world. Yes, he can. Oh, it's so wonderful. He's just going to save the world. Everybody's going to have health care. Oh, look, a unicorn. Oh. Jesus Christ. Hey, anybody remember this? See if you remember this. Go ahead.
Now, there are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally.
Ooh,
You just called the president a liar.
Well, guess what, Mr. Satoru? You owe Joe Wilson a big, fat apology. The Covered California website, Covered California, you know, those fancy names that get, you know, entice people to sign up. Whatever state has the fanciest name, I guess, gets the most people to sign up. So the Covered California website, which is the, I guess, the spawn of healthcare.gov, includes a special page entitled, now, I have a broken left-handed tongue and I can barely read half of English, and now they're going to try to make me read freaking Spanish. So this is going to be fun. No temas se eres indocumentado. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not even going to finish the rest of that. Thank God somebody was smart enough to translate this into regular friggin' English. And it says, fear not if you are undocumented and want to enroll your family in health insurance. The website goes on to explain that the information shared with Obamacare cannot be shared with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is ICE. It does not explicitly warn that illegal aliens are ineligible. They're not ineligible. They actually are eligible. That's why this administration, control of the Border Patrol, and now we'll prosecute the Border Patrol if they arrest anybody coming over the border, especially the Mexican drug cartels who are smuggling children across the border. We don't arrest those Mexican drug cartels for illegally crossing our border smuggling children. Oh, no, 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 no. No, we can't do that. So our homeland security. You tell me how this is securing the homeland when they take those smuggled children from the Mexican drug cartels and hand deliver them to their already illegal alien parents. According to the laws and implementing regulations, the website says the information provided by individuals for coverage cannot be used for purposes other than ensuring the efficient functioning of the insurance market or administration of the program or to verify certain eligibility determinations, including verification of the immigration status of these people. Long, boring story short. If you are an illegal alien, you are welcome to sign up for Obamacare because they need you. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be more of these illegal aliens, maybe they weren't thinking, that are going to be needing subsidies rather than actually paying for it. If these illegal aliens had money, they wouldn't be coming over to the United States. Think about it. So who do you think is going to end up paying for them? The illegal aliens, people that are not even citizens. Who do you think is going to pay for them? That's right. Maybe that's why California is going bankrupt and that's why people are moving out. Because of crap like this, they don't want to be paying for people who don't belong here, who don't have the right to be here or don't deserve to be here. We don't care if you come over from other countries. We don't care. That's the beauty of America. We are one race that comes in every shape, every size, every color, every religion. But we have to do it legally. Because if we don't, well, this kind of stuff is what happens. You can't be an illegal alien in Mexico. First of all, you go to jail. And then, if you protest the government, especially on closed government land. You are screwed, blued, and tattooed. You are not going to get out of their prison for a very, very, very long time. But in America, it's okay. You can protest a government on closed government land. You're an illegal alien. You have rights. It's those crazy old men who stormed the beaches of Normandy, those freedom lovers. They're haters. They can't see their memorial that was built for that. I mean, just unbelievable. Mr. President, you owe a huge, huge apology to Mr. Wilson. I'd like to hear from Mr. Wilson. I'd like to see if he's got something to say now about this. As Bloomberg notes, or Bloomberg News notes, Latinos have been slow to sign up for Obamacare because they can't afford it. Partly because of problems with the Spanish language version. Oh, yeah, that's it. And partly because of some immigrant families are afraid of providing information to the government or using public assistance and other factors. They think they're going to be sent back. No, you're not going to be sent back. You're being hand-delivered across the border. We're allowing you to come over. And if the Border Patrol arrests you for coming over, the Border Patrol agent gets arrested. Covered California is devoting additional resources to recruiting more Latino enrollees before the deadline at the end of March. Obamacare has been under great pressure to produce impressive enrollment numbers. Well, they already did. They told us it was 3.3 million. Not a lot of pressure in that. They can pull any number out of their ass they want. I can do the same too. Nobody is signed up for Obamacare that has to pay for it. That's the real number. Now, let's get into this. We all know what's going on with California. We all know what's going on with Obamacare. We know it's a fraud. It's a huge fraud, probably one of the biggest frauds that's ever been perpetrated on the United States, and especially the biggest fraud perpetrated on the United States by our own government. And our own people voted for it, not once, but twice. Every one of you people with problems with Obamacare, I mean, I'd love to feel sorry for you. I really would. But this is what happens when you don't pay attention. This is what happens when you do pay attention to the wrong people. Your college professors are college professors because they can't get a job anywhere else. That's why they're college professors. As soon as you youngins figure that one out, the much better off you're going to be. I don't understand how people could be that gullible. First of all, I've never been gullible, so I don't even know what it's like to be gullible. I have no concept of it. I really don't. I have no freaking idea how it is to be gullible. I just don't know what that feels like. I'm not interested in finding out, but I mean, it's hard for me to relate to people who are gullible. To me, they just seem like very lazy and stupid people. If you're going to allow yourself to be gullible, you have to have a lazy mind. There's no way in hell you can convince me that you do not have a lazy mind and you're gullible. No, you're gullible, you have a lazy mind. That's why you're gullible, because you have a lazy mind. Well, I don't have a lazy mind, and I am not gullible. I don't feel sorry for people with lazy minds. And neither should you. So let's get into this now, this Common Core strikes again crap. I know New York is trying, you know, I guess they've got some kind of something, another delay. Which I got a chart here of all the delays for Obamacare. Absolutely just
Let's see, where is that?
I mean, it just, it's pathetic. One delay after another. High-risk pools, delay. No basic health plan, delay. Class act dismissed, delay. Medicare Advantage cuts, delayed. Out-of-pocket caps, delayed. Which means there's no cap on out-of-pocket expenses. Which means if you've got a problem and you need to go to the doctor, the majority of it is going to have to come out of your pocket. We don't have enough people in poverty in this country, so we have to make more. So let's get into this now. We'll get back to this other thing later. I still got, 32 minutes. I'm way behind schedule, but I'm going to try to get as much done here as I can. But a father is outraged over his daughter's biology homework. If I can ever shut up, we'll get to it. And you're going to be outraged too. So let's say, for example, that your high school son or daughter says, hey, Pop, can you help me with my biology homework? Well, try. So you walk over and you glance at the paperwork on DNA and blood type and all that, and notice questions about a mother trying to determine the identity of her baby's father. What's that? The question, now this is where the outrage comes. The question reason part, and this is in quotation, so this is what's really on the test. She had the state take a blood test of potential fathers. Based on the information on this table, why was the baby taken away by the state after the test? Possible answers? Cab driver, bartender, flight attendant, and a guy at the club. Now, I don't need to explain that to you. If that didn't send you off into Deep Space Nine, again, this whole getting your squash checked out kind of a deal needs to come into play. You've got problems with the brain. Whatever's growing in there needs to be removed. Whatever isn't in your brain needs to be put back in. These are not the kinds of questions that you want to ask. There's other ways to study DNA and blood types. We studied blood. And everybody had to prick their finger and find out what the stupid blood type was and this and that and everything else. We studied it, and that was in junior high. So now we have to find out who the baby's father is. Is it the cab driver? Is it the bartender? Is it the flight attendant? Or is it the guy at the club? So is every girl that gets pregnant a slut? Just a filthy, dirty whore? Is that what we're dealing with? Well, according to this father, he was not going to have any of it. And he made a big to-do. He says, hey, man, he wrote on the test and sent it back to the teacher that I teach my daughter not to sleep around. Now, this is school. This is a school. Why would the school be teaching this and asking questions like this, that if a girl gets pregnant, that it's got to be either the cab driver, the bartender, the flight attendant, or the guy at the club? How about her husband? Oh, you know, marriage now. We can't have that. That's all old-fashioned. That's all that American stuff. Yeah. Come on. Unbelievable. So he goes on to say, what are they teaching? I couldn't come up with the words. I was like, oh, my God, it's teaching them that it's okay to not know who it is because you can have the state help you. And if they can't help you, they are going to take your child away, and it's not the way it is. He said, I was beyond fired up. Well, yeah. But see, you are probably one of those people that voted for this crap, and you had no idea that you were doing it because you flat refused to pay attention. And it's unfortunate, but we shouldn't have to go digging deep like this. This is kind of information that should be out, but we don't have a responsible enough media to do that. So it may not be all this man's fault, but I'm sure if you boil down to it, and look, I know it, I feel the man's pain. He's got a right to be bitching. But you know what? Maybe if a few of us would have been paying attention a few years ago, we wouldn't even be in this situation. So that's why it's very difficult for me to feel sorry for a lot of people. I mean, you go out of your way to vote for something you have absolutely no idea what you're voting for, and you're going to argue with anybody who says that you're making a wrong decision. You're going to call them the racists and the haters and this and that, and then when the truth comes out and you find out, oh, wait a minute, this isn't what I voted for, this isn't the change that I wanted, where's the hope? According to the WWJ-TV in Detroit, this happened in Detroit, it's about 30 miles away from Detroit. The incomplete assignment was sent back with a note, and this, we already covered this, we teach our children not to sleep around. After talking to their daughter about the questions, now that I see what it really means, I think it like depicts women in a really uncomfortable light, the student said. She didn't even know what it meant. She had to be explained to her what it meant. And now she understands what it means, and now she says it depicts women in a really uncomfortable light. Now, I don't mean to be picking on the father and daughter here, but when things like this could have been avoided, if people would have actually paid attention before they get into the goddamn voting booth, they actually paid attention, went to a PTA meeting, and found out that they were trying to teach this Common Core and stood up and fought it. But no, they didn't. So now, when they get affected, now they start complaining. Now they're a victim. I really want to feel sorry for these people. I really do. But I'm having great difficulty in feeling sorry for a lot of Americans anymore because of this crap. Is this what the teachers did, the stupid assignment? Where the young pregnant woman has no idea who the hell the father is, a cab driver, the guy at the club, a flight attendant. Aren't male flight attendants gay in the first place? So why would that one even be a part of it? I don't know. But the whole point is things like this should never have happened. If we were awake and paying attention, which a lot of us were, but far too many of us were not. But if we were all awake and all aware of our surroundings, if all of the parents were to take an interest in their child's education, go to the schools, go to the PTA meetings, and hold them goddamn teachers' feet to the frickin' fire, and they come up with crap like that, well, you need to slap them down. Stand up right there in front of them. You knock them down, not physically, not literally. But you got to stand up and defend yourself, and you got to tell them, no, this is wrong. Don't you dare teach that crap to my kid. But do they know? They say nothing. And then when it happens to them, now they want to stand up and bitch, throw a fit? I'd love to be able to feel sorry for these people. I just can't. I'm sick of it. I mean, why would you ask a question like that? To find out who the hell the father of this woman's child is. I'm surprised one of the answers wasn't, who cares, just get an abortion. That's probably next year's assignment. So Democrats who oppose the Keystone Pipeline own shares in competing companies. So let's get into this. So Democrats who oppose the Keystone XL pipeline have thousands of dollars invested in direct competitors to the company looking to build the pipeline. That's the only reason. Because the Democrats haven't figured out a way to corner the market and make all the money. Well, this isn't about making money for a particular party or a particular politician. This is about Americans getting a job. This is about Americans, well, earning money, spending that money, using that money to buy other things so other people prosper as well. It's a circle. It all goes around. But the Democrats aren't concerned with that. They're only concerned with how much money they're going to make. And if they're not going to make any money, well, then it's racist, it's homophobic, it's misogynist, it's environmentally unsafe. They come up with any excuse they want. They don't have a shortage of BS to come up with. A recent environmental assessment by the State Department was seen as a step towards the pipeline's approval. But Senator Tim Kaine, the Democrat of Virginia, remains opposed to its construction. In my view, there is now enough evidence to conclude that construction of this pipeline is not in America's long-term interest. No, Mr. Kaine, it's not in your long-term interest. You're not going to make any money off of it. Well, you're not supposed to make any money off of it. The American people are supposed to make money because they're going to be working on it, and that oil is going to be coming through. Oil companies be making money. People have enough money so they can buy the oil. They can drive to other places. It's not about you making any money. It's about the American people. And that pipeline, I might add, Mr. Kaine, is most definitely in America's long-term and short-term interest. We still need oil. We are decades away from being completely 100% oil-free. I would say at least a good century. Every piece of plastic, every nylon, every rayon, rubber, almost everything that you buy today is made from oil. A lot of women's clothes, bottoms of their shoes, their makeup, for Christ's sakes, comes from oil. Everything plastic, nylon, rayon, any on, rubber. We don't use real rubber anymore. It's been synthetic, made from oil for, God, I think maybe 30s or 40s or something like that. We can't just get rid of the oil. Democrats don't understand it. They think plastic, I guess, obviously plastic grows on plastic trees. Do they not understand how plastic is made? It's got to be refined. It's got to be processed. Yeah, it's going to produce smoke. But it's okay for them to have a plastic iPhone and a plastic Xbox and a plastic television and a plastic laptop and a plastic computer and a plastic this and a plastic that. Well, see, plastic is it oil? It's plastic. No, plastic is oil. They don't understand. They were to get rid of oil, and even the president doesn't even understand it. Obviously, he doesn't understand where electricity comes from, most of it anyway. Yeah, we do have some nuclear power plants. But, you know, nuclear power is clean, it's efficient, but it's also very dirty. You've got a lot of nuclear waste that you have to dispose of properly. Well, now New Mexico has had, last couple of days, very high warnings of nuclear waste, I guess, coming up from the ground in conditions where it's very, very unsafe. I don't really have a problem so much with nuclear energy as long as it's done responsibly. But when you have a government involved in something, to get it done responsibly is it's a hit and miss. More often than not, it's not going to be. The freshman Democrat has between 15,000 and 50,000 invested in Kinder Morgan Energy Partners. Well, how do you know? How do you get from 15 to 50,000? Well, what is it? Is it 15 or is it 50? I mean, I can say, I mean, I can understand if they went, yeah, he has between 15 and 20,000, but 15 and 50,000. So this is according to his most recent financial disclosure. $50,000 invested in Kinder Morgan Energy Partners. Kinder Morgan is looking to build a pipeline themselves that would directly compete with Keystone. See, it's okay for him to have investments in a pipeline. It's that's okay. That's not the problem. But if Republicans say they like an idea, whether they got money invested in it or not, I don't know. But why can't the Democrats invest in the Keystone pipeline? They're so concerned with their investments. These are games that Democrats and Republicans play against each other. They're using us as their game pieces, their pawns, and they move us around the board as they see fit. This is what needs to be put an end to, and this is our fault for allowing it to continue. If we do not vote properly in 2014 and a lot of people lose their jobs, this is our fault. We got no one to blame but ourselves. We can no longer feel sorry for ourselves. I mean, you jump in the water, you're going to get wet. It's just the way it is. You can't get around it. Kinder Morgan is considering expanding its Canadian pipeline infrastructure with an expansion of the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which carries oil sands crude from Alberta to refineries and export terminals of Canada's west coast. Well, those oil sands, Canada has a lot of it, and they want to sell it, want to get rid of it. That XL pipeline has been on the been in the planning stages for how many years now? And we still can't get it done, and Canada even saying, hey, look, you guys are going to have to crap or get off the pot. But see, Obama doesn't want that. The Democrats don't want that. They're not going to make any money off it. So they're going to claim it's environmentally unsafe, and they're going to get their little obots to go out there and protest. They got people that do nothing but protest. That's their job. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the Democrats didn't pay these people. And we know they get lunches and they get this and they get that, but this is what they do. They go out and protest. Well, what are you protesting? Well, we don't know. We're just here to protest. All right, we got time for at least one more story here. And then we're going to have to go. We might even get two in here. So let's see if I can get this done. The Obamacare patients with serious pre-existing diseases could face expensive drug costs. Really? We didn't know that. We're stupid. We haven't been paying attention for the past 5 years. This is breaking news. Again, it's going to be very difficult for me to feel sorry for a lot of these people. I want to. But I cannot feel sorry for somebody who has self-inflicted wounds. Now, whether these particular people, some of these people, there's a lot of very innocent people that didn't vote for this crap and didn't want it, and they have pre-existing conditions. Those are the people that you feel sorry for, but how are you supposed to know who's who? Even before it was passed, you were warned with all this crap. You were told before it passed you were not going to keep your doctor or your plan. You were told that. Don't frickin' argue. I don't want to listen to it. And if you didn't hear it, that's because you weren't listening. You were not paying attention. Pre-existing conditions, you were told that as well, that you were going to pay a hell of a lot more. You knew it wasn't going to be cheap. So don't tell me that this is all brand new information for you. You never heard any of this. Well, you did hear it. You just weren't listening. Next time, pay attention before you speak, before you vote, before you protest. People with serious pre-existing diseases, precisely those the president aimed to help with Obamacare, could find themselves paying for expensive drug treatments with no help whatsoever from the health care exchanges. That's right, because you're not an illegal alien. You're not a Democrat. You're not this. You're not that. And it's too expensive. We can't afford it. We don't have enough people signing up. We can't afford it. You're on your own. Those with expensive diseases, such as lupus or multiple sclerosis, face something called a closed drug formulary, whatever the hell that is. Another one of those fancy schmancy names to make it sound like it's more than what it is. What it is an ass ruin. That's what it is. See, I speak plainly. I speak just right out. I have no skills on beating around the bush. I just don't know how to do it. But I just gave it to you in plain English. And if you don't understand it, it's not my problem. You deserve anything that comes your way from now on. Shut up. Dr. Scott Gottlieb of the American Enterprise Institute explains, in quotations now, so this is what he really said, if the medicine that you need isn't on that list, it's not covered at all. You have to pay completely out of pocket to get that medicine. And the money you spend doesn't count against your deductible. Imagine that. Not even against your deductible. And it doesn't count against your out-of-pocket limits. So you're basically on your own. Again, it's called an ass-screwing. And it hurts. And it's going to continue to hurt. See, we've got too many people on planet Earth. There's not enough room for the animals. So in order to lower the population, well, we've got to lower the quality of life, which this president has succeeded tremendously. That is the only thing that this president has succeeded in, lowering the quality of life in this country. That's it. Not exactly something I'd want to put on my resume as a success. But then again, I'm not a Democrat. So it could be that a multiple sclerosis patient could be expected to pay $62,000 just for one medication. And how many people with MS out there have $62,000 for one medication? 62 grand just laying around, just collecting dust. There is a possibility under the new Obamacare going on right now. In fact, one conservative group, America's for Prosperity, you know, the Koch brothers, is running an ad on exactly this subject, featuring a woman with lupus and an autoimmune disease. She starts by saying, I voted for Barack Obama for president. I thought Obamacare was going to be a good thing. Well, these are the people, and I feel sorry for you. You got lupus, you got a bad disease, you got a screwed up disease. But sweetheart, I can't feel sorry for you. You were told this was going to happen. You knew this was going to happen. You just refused to accept it and acknowledge it. I'm not saying that you deserve this. What I'm saying is you've got no one to blame but yourself. If you and other people like you would have paid attention, would have listened, you wouldn't be in this mess right now. But here you are. And now you're complaining. Unbelievable. Well, all right, I got to get to other stuff. I got 8 minutes left. She says, I'm having to work a second job to pay for Obamacare. For somebody with lupus, that's not an easy thing. Well, again, I mean, how is anybody supposed to feel sorry for these people? I mean, I really want to. I'd love to be able to help them. If I could, I would, but I just can't. But look, this is what happens when you don't pay attention. It's a combination of not paying attention and paying attention to the wrong people. This is what happens. This right here is what happens. All right, one more real quick, and then we got to turn this ship around and head back to port. These boneheaded, stupid athletes in the goddamn Olympics. Look, just ski down the mountain and shut up because you're an idiot. And you have proved to be an idiot. And here's the proof. Sochi Olympians call for action on global warming because they're too freaking lazy-minded to actually study the goddamn science, to study the area where they are and to understand that that area is not going to be that cold. I didn't invent the area. I just did my homework, unlike these athletes. So Olympians are using the warm temperatures in Sochi, which usually has balmy temperatures during the winter due to its southern location. See, this article did their homework. Which usually has balmy temperatures during the winter due to its southern location. But it's global warming and George Bush created it. Al Gore was right. We've got to do something. Do what? Call for action on climate change from global leaders. And what are they going to do? Do they all have pens and phones? They can just, I guess, write it down? Well, global warming, what? No more oil? No more cars? Well, except for the government. They can have cars and guns, and they can have anything they want. But you, the citizens, the peasants? They are politicizing the Olympics to ask world leaders to reduce emissions and work toward a compact for the UN. With the UN? For the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change in Paris 2015. We can't get rid of that goddamn UN fast enough, as far as I'm concerned. They can take their Agenda 21 and Common Core and shove it up their ass. I'm not an expert on UN, but what I do know, I don't like, and I don't want, and it's far too expensive. You want to have the goddamn UN? Have the son of a bitch somewhere else. Get it out of America. We don't need it. We don't want it. We're not going to pay for it anymore. As UPI noted in a letter published today on Project Our Writers, or Our Winters, I should say, U.S. cross-country skier Andrew Newell, this guy is just an idiot. I've never met him, but just with this right here, you're dealing with a very lazy-minded individual. And I don't care if you're one of our athletes. I'm going to pick on you because you have a very lazy-minded, a very, very lazy mind there, Mr. Newell, Andrew Newell. You're an athlete. Shut up and do your goddamn event. Nobody's interested in your stupidity. And that's all that's coming out of your fat yap, Mr. Newell. Is stupidity. You need to understand that you have not done your homework. You have no idea, no concept of what the hell it is you're talking, and yet here you are, running your fat yap at the Olympics, making a complete and total ass out of yourself. So Andrew Newell penned a letter demanding... Well, Andrew Newell, he's demanding. Well, we've got to listen to him. Demanding a stronger action on climate change from world leaders. What? What action? Get rid of all the coal plants, no more oil, no more this, no more that? So we go back to living in frickin' caves? I mean, are these people... How did you graduate high school, Mr. Andrew Newell? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Your teachers were liberal. You paid attention to your teachers, too, didn't you? Maybe that's why you're an idiot. The continued loss of snow is only the beginning. Haven't we heard from Al Gore that the polar caps were going to be completely, they weren't going to have any polar caps, or we're going to be any snow or ice on either poles. And now we know that there's more ice than ever been in frickin' decades, probably centuries. But this little punk, Andrew Newell, oh, he's got to get in charge. He's got to be a leader of climate change. Again, if this idiot, Andrew Newell, had studied the science, he would know the climate is constantly changing. It goes from warm to cold, and back to warm, and then back to cold. It's on a constant cycle. It's called cyclical. That's what cycle means, Mr. Newell. I know I got to explain things to you because you're an idiot. He was joined by 105 other Olympian idiots, including athletes from the United States, Switzerland, Norway, Estonia, Canada, Australia, Germany, France, Italy, and Sweden. I'm not an environmental science major, he says. Really? Then why are you talking about it? Why are you talking about things you know nothing about if you're not a goddamn science major? Because you're an idiot. I'm not a scientist. In fact, I didn't even go to college. Guys over here preaching to the world. We need got to get those global leaders to get rid of climate change. This guy admits that he's a friggin' idiot. Unbelievable. Well, that's it. We've got our ship moored. We're running out of time. We will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Goodbye, everybody.